Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, November 1st. Coming up this hour,
the pound strengthens after reports of a Brexit deal on financial services companies.
Shares of Credit Suisse slump after disappointing results from its global markets business.
And stocks in China gain as officials signal further stimulus for the economy.
President Trump has doubled down on his vow to end birthright citizenship. Plus, Indonesian search teams have found the black box of the Lion Air plane that crashed Monday. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashow on sports. A loss for the Knicks, an overtime win for the Nets. Brett Gardner re-signed with the Yankees, and Hall of Famer Willie McCovey has passed away.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by PGIM. In the search for alpha, partner with PGIM, the global investment management businesses of Prudential Financial Inc.
And a data check from the Bloomberg this morning shows futures pointing to a higher open for the cash market this morning. S&P futures right now, they're up 7 points. That's up 0.3%. The Dow futures up 86 points. That's up 0.3%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 13 points higher. That's up 0.2%. Seeing volatility down about 3% right now. The VIX at 20.58. We have the Euro 113.80. That is up about 0.6% against the dollar. The story this morning, dollar weakness across the board. The 10-year yield in the U.S., 3.16%. The price is down by 4/32. And COMEX gold up $12.50 an ounce. That's up 1% at $12.2760 an ounce. And this Bloomberg data check being brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspeeddrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. The pound is strengthening after a Times of London report says the UK and European Union have a preliminary agreement that would allow financial services companies to access the block after Brexit. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Richard McCauley has details.
The report from The Times says that Brexit negotiators have finalised a deal on services and on the exchange of data. It said British business will be able to access EU markets so long as British financial regulation remains broadly in step with EU rules. Also, the agreement is said to include a clause that states neither side would unilaterally deny market access without first going through independent arbitration.
And sterling, as we say, is strengthening on that report, currently trading at $1.2912.
And Nathan, meanwhile, Brexit weighing on plans from the Bank of England. The central bank announces its latest policy decision at 8 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Seb, good morning.
Good morning, John and Nathan. Well, the Bank of England will likely have to sit on its hands today. Economists see no change to the benchmark rate, and markets are rapidly pushing back bets on the next move. The problem is a lack of certainty. Brexit talks are still deadlocked, and the March departure date is looming ever closer. But officials are sticking to the line that limited and gradual hikes are needed in coming years. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thanks. In Asia today, the regional benchmark index gained for a third straight day. Stocks in China kicked off the month on a high note after officials signaled further stimulus for the economy. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
This comes from a Politburo meeting chaired by President Xi Jinping. A statement says the nation's economic environment is changing and that downward pressure is increasing. This signal of urgency came right after China's weak PMI for October. Today, the Caixin index had a modest beat. To date, though, officials have applied just modest support, avoiding the big bazooka of previous slowdowns. That may be about to change. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. Turning to earnings now, Credit Suisse is reporting revenue and income that missed estimates. The Swiss bank's global markets business posted an unexpected loss, signaling that firm's turnaround plans may be running out of steam. Bloomberg's Danny Berger has more.
Now, I mean, at one time, this was the best trading unit on all of Wall Street, but just in a show of how far it's come, it posted a surprise loss today, and the company saying it's likely not to hit their full-year target. A lot of turnaround yet to go here.
And Credit Suisse currently the worst performer in Europe's Stoxx 600, with shares down more than 4%.
Results from ING Group beat estimates. Net income fell due to legal charges related to money laundering, but ING also trimmed its cost-to-income ratio for the first time in six quarters. Shares up now more than 4%.
And Denmark's biggest bank reporting income below estimates and said it's working hard to restore trust with customers and investors after finding itself at the center of a money laundering scandal. The firm says it may face material fines tied to criminal investigations of the U.S., Denmark, and Estonia. Still, investors like what they're hearing. Shares of Danske Bank are higher by 2%.
Revenue for BT Group beat estimates. The former telecom monopoly is also forecasting earnings for the year at the upper end of its target amid strong results from its consumer business. Shares of BT up now more than 7% in London.
And here are the U.S. Apple leading more than three dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Jill Schneider.
With iPhone shipments slowing, Apple has become more reliant on the average selling price of devices to drive expansion. Investors will be listening to the company's earnings call for any commentary on the new iPhone 10 line, which marks a big step up in price from earlier models. The new iPhones began shipping last week. Analysts estimate a 16% gain in revenue with solid growth in Apple services. Last quarter, Apple's high-margin services business rose 28%. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Again, Charlie Pellett with that report. Thanks, Charlie. On the economic front, we get the latest reading on jobless claims at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast a decline to 212,000. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Today's report sets the stage for Friday's monthly employment report. Economists are forecasting the unemployment rate will hold steady at a 48-year low of 3.7%. They also say payroll growth will probably pick up again in the neighborhood of 190,000. Vinny Dow, Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. And right now, futures pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. The Dow futures up 101 points. That's a rise of 0.4%. S&P futures, they're up 9 points. That's up 0.3%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, right now, they are up 16 points. That's up 0.2%. The euro, 113.87, stronger against the dollar, up 0.7%. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
John Tucker, thanks so much. 5:07 now on Wall Street. Let's find out what else is going on around the world. For that, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Donald Trump says the number of military troops deployed to the U.S.-Mexican border could go as high as 15,000. President Trump says the move would be aimed at preventing the entry of a caravan of migrants traveling from Central America. The caravan is moving on foot and still nearly 1,000 miles from the border. President Trump doubled down on attacking birthright citizenship. At a rally in Florida last night, the president says no sane country would grant birthright.
Under this policy, anyone who breaks into our country and has a child, the very next moment that child would be made a citizen for life. Great. This policy has even created an entire industry of birth tourism, big business, where pregnant mothers travel to America to make their children instant American citizens.
Estero, Florida was the first stop of a six-day tour that will see the president hold 11 rallies in eight states before Tuesday's midterm elections. Democrats are hoping to win control of at least one chamber of Congress. Former Vice President Joe Biden campaigned yesterday in St. Charles, Illinois, for Democratic congressional candidate Lauren Underwood. The former vice president remarked on the tone emanating from the current White House.
And it's on our leaders to set the tone, to dial the temperature down, to restore some dignity to our national dialogue.
Biden also encouraged voters to head to the polls early. Indonesian divers have recovered a flight data recorder from the crashed Lion Air jet on the Java seafloor. Bloomberg's Carlos Salna has more from Jakarta.
Finding the so-called black boxes, or flight data recorders, is a crucial step in learning what brought down the plane. The Boeing 737 crashed Monday shortly after takeoff. It had reported technical issues during a trip from Bali to Jakarta the day before, and one area of inquiry now is whether inaccurate altitude or speed readings led to the crash. No survivors have been found. In Jakarta, Carlos Salna, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks for that. 5:09 now on Wall Street. John Stashower is here with our Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Nathan, Knicks and Pacers at the Garden. Tight game, but Indiana's all-star Victor Oladipo took over in the fourth quarter when he scored 11 of his 24 points. The Pacers won 107-101. Dante Sabonis scored 30 on 12-for-12 shooting. Tim Hardaway continues to pour in points for the Knicks. He had 37. At Barclays, Nets and Pistons. Brooklyn came from behind. Game went to overtime where Spencer Dinwiddie was the hero.
Get to the ball. Down two. Shot clock is off. 14 seconds to go. In overtime. Crowd rising. Dinwiddie out of the right wing. Extension picked up by Drummond. Elevates on a three and it's gone! Nets grab a one-point lead.
Nets radio had it. They beat the Pistons 120-119. All 25 of Dinwiddie's points came after halftime. Warriors made it six wins in a row, 131-121 over New Orleans. Steph Curry scored 37. And in Minnesota's win over Utah, one-time Nick, one-time NBA MVP Derrick Rose turned back the clock. He scored 50 points, 34 in the second half. MLS playoffs, NYCFC beat Philadelphia 3-1 to advance to play Atlanta. University of Maryland Board of Regents investigating football coach DJ Durkin's role in the death of freshman lineman Jordan McNair due to heat stroke. First said this week that Durkin can return to his job, but protests by fans, the media, even members of the team forced the school to change its mind. Durkin has now been fired. Brett Gardner staying put. Current Yankee with the longest service on the team re-signed. 1 year, $7.5 million. Hall of Famer Willie McCovey has died at the age of 80. A beloved San Francisco Giant for 19 of his 22 big league seasons. He was the National League's Rookie of the Year in 1959, the MVP a decade later. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thanks. This Sunday, about 50,000 people are going to run the New York City Marathon. 500 more will participate in a virtual marathon that's being held for the first time by the New York Roadrunners organization. Registrants each paid $100. They're going to be running from 28 countries and 39 states. And once they finish the mileage that they'll log through an app, they'll earn a real medal. And even better, they get guaranteed entry into the real life 2019 race. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:11 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by the New York Community Trust, where donors like you help them make New York better.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom with this Bloomberg Business Flash. This on a day when futures point to a higher cash open later this morning. You have S&P futures up 6 points. The Dow futures up 72 right now. That's up 0.3%. NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 13 points. That's up 0.2%. Overseas, the European stocks added to gains made in the end of the month recovery. After a pretty mixed session we had overseas in Asia. And, of course, the pound jumping on hopes for progress and Brexit negotiations. And the dollar, that's the story this morning. Dollar weakness across the board right now. Sterling surging after reports the UK and European negotiators reached a tentative agreement to give the UK financial services companies access to European markets. And NYMEX crude this morning down 55 cents a barrel. That's down 0.8%. Right now at 64.76. This is West Texas Intermediate. We have COMEX Gold up $11. That's up 0.9%. Right now at 12.26 an ounce. And we check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. That's Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. President Donald Trump says the number of military troops deployed to the U.S.-Mexican border could increase. President Trump told reporters that we'll go up to anywhere between 10 and 15,000 military personnel on top of Border Patrol, ICE, and everybody else at the border. Trump wants to stop the entry of a caravan of migrants traveling from Central America. The suspect in the Pittsburgh synagogue massacre is expected to make another brief appearance in federal court today. Robert Bowers will be arraigned on a 44-count indictment on charges including murder, hate crimes, and obstructing in the practice of religion. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost, the Nets won along with the Warriors. In Thursday night football, the 49ers host the Raiders. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks so much. It is 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, joined now by Daniel Morris, Senior Investment Strategist for BNP Paribas. Welcome to November, Daniel. Shocktober's behind us now, so there's nowhere to go but up, right? Or is there?
Well, inevitably, I think we have two options. But after the decline that we saw in October, we are for the outlook from here. I think we need to step back in the same way that we did earlier in the year when we had the equal sell-offs in February and in March. And you look at the outlook in terms of growth, in terms of growth, but corporate profits, even interest rates, it's still a broadly supportive market for risk assets and for equities. So with the sell-off that we've had, we think they should recover.
Okay, so you're seeing this as just a pure correction and the fundamentals are still strong.
Well, absolutely. And I think if you, you know, look back to what triggered this particular sell-off as opposed to what happened in the earlier in the year, it certainly seemed to be the discussions about higher rates, increase in 10-year Treasury yields, comments from the Fed. And that did seem to spark the sell-off. But I think the vulnerability that we saw, particularly in technology shares after some of the indices gaining 65% up to that point, you know, so to speak, it was inevitable that you had a bit of a reset. We've certainly had that. But as long as we don't anticipate rates suddenly spiking again, it should be broadly supportive.
Now, there is still that risk of rate hikes putting a drag on equity markets, isn't there?
Well, I think what really seemed to matter this time is the swiftness of the move. I think we have the plan that the Fed has laid out for interest rates over the next year. We think actually they will more or less stick to that, which is in contrast to what the market's priced in. The market's much more skeptical about the outlook for the Fed. But as long as it's this gradual 25 basis point hike every quarter, the market should be able to adjust to that. It's a swift move in 10-year Treasury yields like we saw. That can be upsetting. So, of course, that can happen at any time. But it's harder for us to see a swift move up that stays there, as opposed to what we had this time. The Treasury yields went up, but then they quickly retrace. So we think if there's another spike and that does hit the markets, it'll be a bit of a mini replay. We don't think you can have sustainably high yields at this point because of the outlook for inflation in particular. And so that's what's going to keep equities going up because you're not going to have the pressure from too high interest rates.
Well, what do you think the risk is of a spike in interest rates? I mean, have we gotten any indication from the Fed that that's in mind for them?
Well, if we see a spike in market rates, you always have to come back to what might provoke it. I mean, this time it was comments from the Fed or from Powell. You know, perhaps he might be a little bit more circumspect in the future once he sees what his words can do to the market. I think something that would be more worrying, and it's something, frankly, that we've talked about for a very long time, is if you actually started to see that acceleration in inflation, particularly in wages, that you've anticipated with the unemployment rate as low as it is for as long as it has been. We've talked about this every month when non-farm payrolls come out and average hourly earnings and it doesn't materialize. One day it may, and if it does, the market's going to have to deal with that. But given the pattern we've had so far and the underlying dynamics in the economy, we don't anticipate it.
And trade risk, of course, is always in the background. Do you expect it to come more to the foreground as President Trump and Xi get set to meet at the G20 later this month?
Well, it may, but hopefully in a positive way. I mean, clearly Trump has used the performance of the economy and the performance of the stock market as validation of his policies. So the market's going down doesn't quite jive with the perspective that he wants to give people. So at this point, knowing that trade has also been a factor in the weakness, particularly around technology, if we did have more conciliatory messages coming from Trump about the outlook ahead of the election and the market rallies on that, that would seem to be a scenario that would certainly play to the Republicans' advantage.
In our last 30 seconds here, Daniel, where do you advise clients as far as opportunities in this new month?
Well, I mean, if you look at what's happened in terms of valuations with the correction or the sell-off that we've had, valuations for the U.S. equity market have come down, but they're not in absolute terms particularly cheap. It's probably around average PEs for most parts of the market. Where we do see opportunity in terms of at least absolute valuations actually is in emerging markets and in Japan. Now, you have to also think about the earnings outlook and what happens with U.S. rates, but as far as PEs are concerned, those are the two markets that really seem to offer below average PEs. And therefore might offer some opportunity for some revaluation.
Daniel Morris, Senior Investment Strategist at BNP Paribas. Always good to get your insight, especially as we begin a new month and find ourselves perhaps poised for a few more gains after the end-of-month recovery following all the volatility from October. S&P futures pointing to a higher open, 7 points higher, a gain of nearly 0.3%. Dow futures ahead by 0.3%. That's a rise of 81 points. NASDAQ futures up by 12 points. That is a gain of almost 0.2%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it is now 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com.
And we are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. And let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures, they're higher as we begin a new trading month. Despite the S&P 500's biggest two-day surge since February, October was the worst month for global stocks in more than 2 years.
Sterling is rising following a Times of London report that U.K. and European negotiators have reached a tentative agreement that would give British financial services companies continued access to European markets after Brexit.
The Bank of England makes a policy decision this morning. No change in interest rates are forecast.
On the earnings front, shares of Credit Suisse are down nearly 3%. Revenue and net income missed estimates in the third quarter.
And shares of ING Group are up about 5%. The bank trimmed its cost-to-income ratio for the first time in 6 quarters.
Shares of BT are up more than 9%. The former telecom monopoly forecast full-year earnings at the upper end of its target.
And shares of Royal Dutch Shell down 1.5%. Profit fell short of estimates.
Here in the U.S., Apple, Kraft Heinz, and Starbucks lead 40 companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today.
And automakers will release their October sales this morning. Let's get a preview in this report from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Auto sales could turn negative for the year as plunging demand for passenger cars and costlier loans wipe out a stronger-than-expected start to 2018. Sales probably slowed to an annualized rate of about 17.3 million in October, compared with 17.9 million a year earlier, with analysts expecting Nissan, General Motors, and Ford to lead declines among the biggest automakers. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Charlie. We get another reading on the labor market ahead of tomorrow's jobs report. Weekly jobless claims will be released at 8:30 Wall Street time.
And, John, we got a reading on UK manufacturing PMI crossing the Bloomberg. The reading for October came in at 51.1, far short of forecasts, which called for a reading of 53.
And a data check now for the Bloomberg shows for the cash market open, we are expecting a higher open. S&P futures right now, 8 points higher. That's up 0.3%. The Dow futures up 85. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures are 16 points higher right now. As we take a look at the euro, 113.78. That's up 0.6% against the U.S. dollar. The yen right now, 112.97. Slightly weaker against the dollar. And sterling, 128.86. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. It's 5:33 now on Wall Street. Let's find out more of what's going on around the world from Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump is doubling down on ending birthright citizenship. Speaking at a rally in Estero, Florida last night, President Trump vowed to end the right to citizenship for babies born to non-U.S. citizens on American soil, even though several scholars and lawmakers say he cannot.
Congress has never passed a law requiring birthright citizenship for illegal aliens, and the Constitution does not, I say that to the media, does not require it, read it, because illegal aliens are not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States.
The event was the first of 11 rallies to be held across 8 battlefield states up to Election Day. President Trump says he might send even more American military personnel to the U.S. border with Mexico to guard against what he calls very bad people among a caravan of asylum-seeking Central American migrants. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has details.
5,200 active duty troops from 10 states are being dispatched to the Mexican border and housed in over a dozen military bases and installations in California, Arizona, and Texas. They're joining 2,100 National Guard members already helping at the border. President Trump tells reporters the number could go higher.
We'll go up to anywhere between 10 and 15,000 military personnel on top of Border Patrol, ICE, and everybody else at the border.
Defense Secretary James Mattis rejects accusations it's a political stunt ahead of the midterm elections.
We don't do stunts in this department.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Divers have recovered a flight data recorder from the crashed Lion Air jet on the sea floor, a crucial development in the investigation into what caused the two-month-old plane to plunge into Indonesian seas. The Boeing jet crashed Monday, killing all 189 people on board. There are sharp words from North Korea's leader aimed at the U.S. Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
North Korea's Kim Jong-un lashed out at the sanctions imposed on his country, describing them as vicious and standing in the way of his people's well-being. It was the most blunt criticism of the sanctions restricting flow of goods and capital to his country and reflected latest sign of his frustration with the pace of peace talks with President Trump, who has maintained that sanctions won't be lifted until Kim gives up his nuclear weapons. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Knicks have played 8 games this season only once. The one in Miami where they lost by 23, have they been blown out. Last night at the Garden, another game where they could have won but didn't. Indiana pulled it out 107-101. Dante Sabonis, 30 points in 21 minutes for the Pacers. Tim Hardaway continues to play like an all-star for the Knicks. 37 points, he had 7 threes, but it came in another loss.
It's got to come a point in time where we got to buckle down and you know, close these games out, especially when we have a 4-point lead with like 3-4 minutes left to go in the game. So with that being said, you know, just got to move on, learn from it. We know what we have to do as a ball club. We just got to go out there and execute.
Nets coming off a loss to the Knicks, their third in a row, came from behind, topped the Pistons at Barclays 120-119 in overtime, a thriller. Spencer Dinwiddie with 25 points. He had the game tying three in regulation, the game winner in OT. The Warriors won their sixth in a row. The Lakers, a 1-point win over Dallas. LeBron James, the game winning free throw. And Minnesota's win over Utah. Derrick Rose scored 50 points, a career high. That's more than he had in his MVP season 8 years ago. NYCFC advances in the MLS playoffs. 3-1 win over Philadelphia. Maryland fired football coach DJ Durkin just days after reinstating him following an investigation into the death due to heat stroke of freshman lineman Jordan McNair. Many protested, including members of the team, and the school changed its mind. Brett Gardner, a Yankee since his rookie season in 2008, has re-signed. 1 year, $7.5 million. William McCovey has died at the age of 80. The Hall of Famer hit 521 home runs, mostly with the San Francisco Giants. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the unsolved murder of an unusual billionaire in Canada. Also in this week's issue, why companies are giving working training another try. Peter Coy wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
The evidence is that there has been an uptick in training. It's not huge, but it's on an uptrend.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Nathan. B&L Management walked away from a preliminary deal reached over the summer to buy 853rd Avenue in Midtown Manhattan from a partnership led by HNA Group. That's according to Real Estate Alert reports, which didn't say where it got the information. It's unclear if the talks might be revived. S&P Global says there's been some progress for New Jersey's pension system, but still ranks its funding ratio as second to last among all U.S. states. New Jersey also places dead last for progress on funding even the bare minimum of its growing pension cost, according to the S&P report. And home prices in Connecticut were up in September compared with a year ago. They hit their highest level for the month since 2008, but sales of single-family houses in September were weak, according to the Warren Group, which tracks real estate trends. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Dunahoe on KTRH in Houston. Shell stepped up its buyback program as cash flow surged on higher crude prices.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KMOX in St. Louis, we're talking about another good quarter from Express Scripts as it heads to its takeover by Cigna.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a jump in sterling on hopes of a Brexit breakthrough.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, we're watching for earnings from Kraft Heinz.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting auto sales growth in the U.S. could slip into negative territory for the year.
And those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following, efforts to ease post-crisis banking rules could continue even if Democrats take over the House after next week's midterm elections. They would be in charge of committees that oversee financial matters if they gain the majority. But RBC Capital Markets analyst Gerard Cassidy says, though those Democrats in charge would create a lot of noise, it won't affect the direction of change. He says there will be elevated pressure, but they are still Trump's agencies and will continue easing rules for the banks. S&P futures pointed to a higher open on Wall Street, up 9 points or a third of a percent. Dow futures up 96. NASDAQ futures up 18 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2018 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker in the newsroom with this Bloomberg Business Flash. This on a day when we're seeing dollar weakness across the board this morning. The euro 113.79, that's up about 0.6%. The British pound sterling, enter the news about Brexit, up 1% against the dollar, 128.94. Cash market to open on Wall Street this morning should be a higher open, at least as far as the futures indicate this morning. S&P futures up 9 points. That's up 0.3%. The Dow futures are 98 points higher. That's up 0.4%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures right now up 18 points. That is up 0.3% this morning. European stocks, they advanced overnight. German DAX right now is still up about 0.6%. The CAC in Paris is up 0.2%. And the exception is the FTSE. Right now, it's down about 0.1%. Let me check the markets for you every 15 minutes during the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker with the Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, we say good morning once again to Michael Barr.
John, thank you, sir. President Trump used the word invasion to describe the caravan of Central American migrants making their way north to the U.S. border. The president says he's sending 10 to 15,000 American military personnel to protect the southern U.S. border. Some Google employees are planning to walk out from their jobs. Could happen today. According to people familiar with the matter, they're dissatisfied with the CEO's response to a report about the company's handling of alleged sexual harassment by executives. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Nets won along with the Warriors. In Thursday night football, the 49ers host the Raiders. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks so much. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 5:49 on Wall Street. Credit Suisse is one of the worst performers on Europe's Stoxx 600 this morning. Shares are down 2.5% after the Swiss bank reported revenue and income that missed estimates due in part to poor performance from its global markets business. CEO Tidjane Thiam sat down to discuss the results this morning with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix. Here's what he had to say.
If you look into our results, you will see that the kind of very stable revenue sources, net interest income, fee income have been going up nicely, and transaction revenue suffered in the third quarter because of the general uncertainty. Clients have been a bit sitting on the sideline and not transacting. But never lasts forever. This is, you know, transitory phases.
After when do you see that changing? When do they come back
I'm
in?
I'm not going to put a date on it, but kind of next 6 to 12 months things will change, mm-hmm. because a lot of uncertainty will disappear. The nature of uncertainty is somehow at some point to disappear. But we were at a point of maximum uncertainty with all the events this summer. I've always said, I think to you many times, that the exit of QE would not be without issues. It's a sea change for markets, and people have to adjust to a new normal. Yeah. That means a lot of anticipations have to be changed. But fundamentally, the economy is strong. That remains globally. I think the IMF reviews its forecast downwards a little bit, but the economy globally remains strong. That's enormous. Everybody tends to forget that, but that's enormous. I've said there is a disconnect between the strength of the economy and the mood of the markets, because none of us is used to such a long cycle. So it's human to think that it's going to stop. And the fear that it may stop may actually stop it. It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So as far as Credit Suisse is concerned, in that environment, what we have is we've dealt with our legacy, mm-hmm. which is kind of easily forgotten, but that's a big deal. We have raised a lot of capital. We have a strong balance sheet. We have de-risked massively. So this is a bank that has done its cleanup. There's no more legacy, very strong and clean balance sheet, no risk. You take the level three assets that people talk about all the time. It was 31 billion when I write, it's 15. When I write, our level three asset was as much as our CET1 capital. Now it's half. So the bank has been massively de-risked, is growing, but that is not yet reflected in the share price, which is the thing.
When will it be reflected in the share price?
We need to continue delivering. We're building a track record. 8 consecutive quarters of year-on-year profit improvement, 8 consecutive quarters of positive jaws, positive operating leverage. But, you know, we need to continue producing that kind of performance.
That's Credit Suisse CEO Tidjane Thiam speaking with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix in Zurich. And shares of Credit Suisse are slumping after its third quarter earnings report. They're currently lower by about 2.2%. John?
All right, thanks, Nathan. It is now 5:52 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Law Brief, being brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolved faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get the latest legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podesk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A bill that would virtually wipe out a 150-year green card wait for Indian workers has a realistic chance of passage this fall. The chairman of the Yakama Nation Tribal Council was barred from the U.S. Supreme Court because he insisted on wearing a tribal headdress. The case involved an argument involving a treaty between the Washington State Tribe and the government. And farmers can use the pesticide dicamba to clear fields of stubborn weeds for 2 more growing seasons after the EPA extended the temporary approval of new versions of the chemical.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And you can hear Bloomberg Law Briefs every day at this time right here on Bloomberg Radio. In other legal news, let's look at President Trump's assertion that he can end birthright citizenship in America with an executive order, a claim that is likely to meet resistance in the courts. For more on this, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Suzanne Sherry, a professor at Vanderbilt University Law School.
Most legal scholars, not all, but most, say the law on its face and interpretations show that children born to illegal immigrants are U.S. citizens. Explain the basis of that legal thinking.
Well, the 14th Amendment to the Constitution starts by saying all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So the 14th Amendment says it right there. If you're born in the United States, you are a citizen.
Now, explain the legal perspective of those who point to those words subject to the jurisdiction thereof and say the 14th Amendment doesn't cover the children of illegal immigrants.
Well, what the purpose of the subject to the jurisdiction thereof language was to codify the common law exceptions to birthright citizenship. So at the time that the 14th Amendment was adopted, and in fact at the time of the American Revolution, common law in England and then eventually common law in the United States had birthright citizenship. But there were two exceptions. You were not a citizen if you were born in a country, but you were the child of diplomats from a foreign country. And you were not didn't have birthright citizenship if you were born in a country, but you were the child of alien enemies in hostile occupation, as the common law put it. In other words, foreign diplomats and invading armies were not subject to the jurisdiction of the host country, and so their children didn't have birthright citizenship. And the purpose of the subject to jurisdiction language was just to make it clear that although most people would have birthright citizenship, those two exceptions would continue to be exceptions.
And that's Suzanne Sherry, a professor of Vanderbilt University Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information.
All right, John, thank you. 5:56 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF Report. It's brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. Now here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
Exchange-traded funds. Believe it or not, there's an exchange-traded fund that tracks exchange-traded funds. And here to tell us about it is Eric Balchunas, Bloomberg Intelligence ETF analyst. Eric, come on. This sounds like chasing your tail.
It is. It's the most meta ETF on the market. TETF is the ticker. But it actually isn't that odd. I mean, in every industry, there's ETFs that try to capture a trend going on within that industry. In this case, a lot of money is moving to passive and ETFs, right? It's organic growth. This ETF tracks companies in the ETF ecosystem that are to benefit from the move to passive. So it has a lot of issuers. It also has like exchanges, index providers. And it's outperforming XLF. It's about 5% better than the financials ETF. Ironically, what's bringing it down a little are the issuers. They're being under pressure because of the low fees. But what's bringing it up is anything that involves trading. Exchanges, market makers like Flow Traders has been a big win. So all in all, you're getting the whole ecosystem here. A little more volatile than XLF, but that's all it's doing.
Thanks very much. Eric Balchunas, Bloomberg Intelligence ETF analyst. This is the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thanks for that. And taking a forward look at the markets on this first morning of November, futures contracts pointing to a higher open on Wall Street with S&P futures ahead by 11 points, a gain of 0.4%. Dow futures also up by 0.4 or 116 points. NASDAQ futures up by 25. That's a gain of 0.3%. Price of the 10-year down 6/32. The yield at 3.16%. 2-year treasuries at 2.87%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.